Welcome to Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.
Q is about conversation.
If we're really concerned about ending poverty, we've got to be more concerned about creating justice.
Our cultural products as Christians need to both defy and resonate with the culture.
But God's doing amazing things. His church is expanding. His church is growing.
It's not what's the purpose of my life. It's what is the purpose that's been assigned.
Stay curious. Think well. Advance good. This is Q.
Surrender is the portal to living the life God designed you to live. And if you don't fully go through it, you'll have a shortened, frustrated view of your sense of calling. Because full surrender realigns the motives. Proverbs 16:2 says, God is weighing the motives of the heart. And it really all comes down to motives. What's driving me to do what I'm doing? Why am I doing that? And when that's more this than this, it changes the game. And that's the life of joy where we find meaning on the other side of great loss and suffering.
Welcome to Q Ideas. I'm Gabe Lyons, and I'm excited about the conversation and the learning that we're going to get to have together today, because it's dealing with a topic that every single one of us are faced with, and it's the idea of our calling. You know, we hear the word calling, and it brings up a lot of feelings and thoughts about, man, have I discovered my calling? Maybe I missed my calling. Maybe you have some regrets about how you've lived your life, and you wonder, does God really have an assignment for me? And I think what you're going to hear today is that we believe, yes, God does have an assignment for you. And many people don't discover it maybe till later in life, or if they discover it early in life, they go through a roller coaster ride of sorts where they're learning and failing and trying to work towards what is God's calling in their life. Well, you're going to get to hear today an interview that my wife, Rebecca Lyons, and I were able to have with Pete Richardson, somebody who's been a mentor to us, but who spends most of his time helping others discover their calling. It's part of his work to help those who are trying to discern what path to take, what decision to make, what should the next job be. And they're not always clear, and we've all been through that, right? I can remember when I was 25 years old and I was trying to discern the calling God had on my life. And I remember that sense of just feeling like there was something more. I could just sense that he was calling me towards something, but I didn't know what steps to take. And I remember going and meeting with Pete Richardson in Boulder, Colorado, and sitting up in the upper room of his office where we just sat back and talked. And we spent 2 days together working through exactly this, which was, what are my talents? What are the unique things God's given me? And then what is he calling me towards? What are those burdens that I feel? Well, you're going to get to hear Pete lay that out for you and to hear in his own words how he helps people discover their calling, but also, what are some of the big impediments? What is it that gets in our way? Why is it that sometimes we just simply can't quite get there? And so we spend our lives working jobs, thinking just that it's about making enough money to survive, and we don't always thrive. We don't always live into this assignment that we believe God has. Well, the other thing that we're dealing with is our culture tells us that we can find our calling by kind of just looking at ourselves or observing our feelings. We know in research that it's showing us that many Americans think this is a high value, that you can find out who you are by looking within, and yet we know the Christian story tells us something different. You see, as Christians, we believe that you only know who you are by having a fixed point outside of yourself, and that is God, something fixed. It's not just your feelings or your emotions, but it's looking outside yourself to the caller, and that we're meant to reflect what he wants to do in the world. And when we start to get the right perspective, it gives us all kinds of opportunities to explore all of the many places God will want his people to show up and to bring renewal, redemption, and love into the world. And so let's listen in to this conversation. It's fun. You're going to get to meet my wife for the first time, Rebecca Lyons, as she asks questions because she's been through this process too, and you'll hear how that story began. Let's listen in. About 15 years ago, I sat above his awesome home office where he pulls out these Post-it pads and
whiteboards and essentially starts asking you questions, much like a therapist would, to try to get into your head and your heart and discover what is going on there and what does God feel about that. And what's amazing is he's done something called life planning with almost 1,000 people. I mean, we're close to that number now that he sits down with and spends 2 to 3 days. Sometimes it goes over the course of months or years, helping them think through what does God have for them. The first question I want to ask, just for those in the room who are curious, or maybe they're a little skeptical, like, do you believe that everybody has a calling? Is there some divine thing going on here that every human being, every Christian should seriously consider this? Because if they don't, what happens?
Yeah, I do. And part of it, I think, depends on how you define calling. When I was in seminary in the 1980s, calling was a tired word. It was a negative word. It sort of has new life right now. The way I define it and see it in scripture is calling is maybe in its simplest definition, what does God want me to do with the talents he's invested in me? So if I look at calling from a very sort of creative perspective, God as this great creator and 7.4 billion people on earth now and counting, does he have the capacity to uniquely invest unique talent, clumps of talent in each person? And then inspire their hearts to go use that in his world and creation in some way. Yes. So I believe calling is for everyone. It's not for a few. How many go to the grave never discovering their calling and even tapping in and realizing it? It's probably a very small percentage.
Yeah. So you think a small percentage goes to their grave not tapping into it, or a small percentage do actually find it?
The majority of humanity goes to the grave never fully realizing their God-given talent and investing that and leveraging that in their lifetime.
So just quickly, you have, I know this takes a lot of time to normally unpack, but just give us kind of the bullet points of like, how do you find your calling and this God assignment that you believe everybody has? How would you know that in the basic ways?
Well, I think we have to pause long enough in the speed-driven lives we live to get perspective. And I don't think there's a linear approach to that.
Yeah.
I think it's seeing calling in the course of your lifetime. I think it's understanding the intersection of what God's invested in you with the talents he's gifted you with. Yeah. And then listening to your God-inspired heart. And that's where it gets messy. But the heart is the compass. It points the way. And if you're listening to that God-inspired heart within you, it's telling you where to invest those talents. And so the clues to calling are found in the intersection of my God-given talents and my God-inspired heart.
Yeah, we have this slide up. I don't know if you want to explain more there.
So the talent component, you know, I believe everyone in the world has 3 to 5 core talents. They're born with them. You see it, maybe the easiest metaphor would be, or example would be in athletics, right? Some kids just have natural athleticism, but talent neglected stagnates. So if it's not cultivated and invested in over time, it never reaches its potential. Talent tells me what God has gifted me to do. The heart is, again, the compass. It tells me where God wants me to use that talent. The heart side of it, if you look at this other slide on the heart, this is a very simple slide on it, but, you know, scripture, Ezekiel prophesied, I'm going to replace your heart of stone with the heart of flesh. I'm going to give you a new spirit. And as believers with God's spirit residing in these human temples, we have a resource outside of ourselves. So each one of these hearts, here the shadow self, genuine self, some call the shadow self the false self, the dark side. That has its own set of desires, its own ambitions. And if we talk shadow heart to shadow heart, it's a different conversation. But when we tap into this genuine true self, and which is very motivated to give back to the world, it's very other centered, then we have a different conversation. And that's the compass heart we want to tap into when we talk about God inspiring my heart's desires.
Well, in the Christian community, I know a lot of emphasis can go into this idea of calling, but sometimes it's all about men sort of pursuing calling and women. And Rebecca, maybe you should speak to that, but then followed up maybe asking Pete, because you guys have had a lot of conversations about this, but how does this specific conversation relate to women?
When Gabe said, I want to send you, I was early 30s, he said, I'm going to send you to meet with Pete for a day, and I really want you to talk to him about calling. And I remember going, I don't want a calling. I want a piano. And so then he started looking for a piano on Craigslist. I was turning 35 and he was trying to do something really, you know. And what's funny is 2 years later, here I find myself with Pete in New York. The Lord just was orchestrating something before I was even ready. And I think sometimes we hear this idea of calling and it's so intimidating. Like maybe I'm not going to get it right. Or maybe it's this like elusive thing that floats in the air. And if I'm lucky enough, I'll grasp it. And I know I've spoken to college students about this and women, and that common thread is like, even if we believe that we do have a calling, it still feels so overwhelming. And there's this intense pressure to get it right. And so, I want to speak to the unworthiness of a calling. Like there's some that just say that's an indulgent conversation and I've got my head down and I'm taking care of littles and I don't really have capacity for that. It's really unveiling what's already there, right? And so speak to how you spoke to the Q women about the seasons of that.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about what that would look like.
Well, first of all, I don't think calling is gender related, and I think it's again rooted in God's creativity and how he creates every person uniquely. So I think what I find is, again, back to the culture we live in, we want it quick. And if we can get perspective on our birth to death journey, this side of death, however many days God gives us on earth, sometimes there's decades of foundation laying that you don't know at the time in your 20s and 30s and even 40s, how God's preparing you for this sense of focus calling later on in maybe the 50s and 60s. But the other thing is, I don't think calling is just work or vocation related. It's holistic. My calling should apply to all my relationships, certainly in my family, with my friends, my community, and into the body of Christ beyond work. And there should be continuity in that. And that is discovered over time. And so, you know, I work with a lot of people in their 20s and 30s, that generation. And much of the 20s is about experimentation. What does my heart really long for and what doesn't it long for? And that takes sometimes years and decades to play out. Even the stay-at-home mom has God-given talent and it can be cultivated and developed. There's common callings, as we might say, common purposes that are a given, and we dare not discard those in the name of this so-called higher calling. And so if I'm a husband or a wife, I'm called to be a loving husband and wife. That's just a given. I'm called to follow Jesus. That's an invitation. Follow me. If I have kids, I'm called to invest in them. So we have to, I think, God's call in our life is more holistic than just work focused.
Well, I would just add to, and something we've talked about at Q a lot, especially for men in the room, is like in my journey with Rebecca, when I said at 35 years old, why don't you go spend time with Pete? It was understanding that when you start to come alive, everything comes alive. And for a lot of husbands, even some of you are probably here in this room and you left a family behind and this is your calling to come be at Q maybe and learn and do this for your job or for your career, is to understand that for your spouse, it is critical that you be the one to help unlock the possibilities for them and to help them start to uncover and discover this. And many times that may not happen if you don't take the initiative to say, I want you to discover more or to remember. It's not about finding something new many times. It's uncovering what's always been there in the person that you married and helping them recover that in seasons where kids can kind of take over life and distractions. And I know, Rebecca, as you travel and speak to a lot of women, you're seeing so many women just kind of awake to that.
Just giving them permission and time. Like you said, processing this does take time. And sometimes you've got your head down and you don't have the margin or even the mental space to go there. And I liked early on, you said sometimes this process takes some people up to 18 months to even just dig into for a first step. And I think that's proven true for me and a lot of us as you kind of trip into the things that are making your heart come alive or making your heart sing.
Well, you guys are an example of what you're talking about. You know, Gabe, you encouraging Rebecca over the years, your fear, right? And then you leaning in, discovering and being a mom, but still having this other sense of contribution. So is it easy? No. I think the only way you fully own your calling is to fully surrender to it. And that's where I find a lot of men and women trip up. They're like 1 degree away from full surrender. And that can lead to a very frustrating sense of calling. I think fear is the great nemesis of the call, which makes sense. And that It's not rooted in the voice of God's call in our lives. And it's like, it's standing in that doorway saying, don't go through there. You can't do it. You don't have a calling. You don't have what it takes. And actually, fear points the way. And if you go towards the fear and through the door on the other side, people usually say, what was I so afraid of?
This is a good moment for us to pause, because as you're hearing, it can be inspiring to think about calling, and each of us has an assignment, but there are these things that trip us up and get in the way. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to one of my great mentors, Pete Richardson, who's helped my wife and I really discover and understand our own assignments and our own calling that led us to begin Q Ideas. So as we continue on, let's just listen. What is it that maybe God wants to say to you through what you're about to hear in the next few moments about the things we have to remove in order to actually hear and fulfill God's calling on our life?
This idea of surrender, will you speak to that a little? Like, what are the things that tend to stop us? One of them is fear, but what are the fears? Fears of what? Real practically for people in this room, because some of these people, they've already worked through that, but they're leading others who are trying to figure out these conversations. How can they coach and lead people kind of through those doors?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think theologians call this an antinomy, right? Two different, almost antithetical concepts that don't fit together. But Jesus said, if you want to live, you must die. The surrender concept, if you want to be free, you must fully surrender. So what does that mean? It's where you give up full control of things God has not designed us to control. Gary Smalley, one of, you know, our friends who's now with the Lord, but he gave a vowless word that really is a good framework for surrender. And there's a slide to it here, but the word is frumph. Frumph. How's that for a word? Frumph. I've never forgotten it out of all my years of hearing messages, but I won't tell the full story, but he actually had a coffin up on the platform as an illustration of how he went through each one of these words. And so one of the first one, F, is a fear of the future and how that can be very paralyzing. A fear I might fail if I move into the future with this sense of calling. A fear that I don't have what it takes. I'm fooling myself. And so, you know, as we sort of surrender our future to the Lord fully and understand this life we have is a one-time gift that we have some control over, but a lot we don't. And we surrender that. The reputation word is fear of what other people think of me. And so I've seen that paralyze people moving forward. If I do that, my family, my friends, those closest to me, my parents, my dad, my mom, will think differently of me. And then, of course, there's the money component. If I do this, I won't have enough cash flow. I won't have health insurance. I've seen a lot of fear of not having health insurance trip people up, to be honest. Just very practical. Fear of my possessions. If I do that, I won't have the quality of life that we have. And then fear of time. You know, I don't have time. Time's, I'm growing too old. I'm too old for a call. I've seen that on the other end of the age spectrum. Or I'm too young for one. Oh yeah, I'm just a mom. I don't really have a special contribution. And then of course, health. So, and there's other components that can trip us up, but when we fully surrender to these kinds of things and whatever other, I think fear is never going away. So we better learn how to relate to it. And it has a lot of voices and a lot of faces.
I remember when we finally met together a couple years after this initial offering, and we were in New York, and you started the session with a Viktor Frankl quote saying, life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but by lack of meaning and purpose. And I was like, yes, I'm here. I'm going to come here. I'm in New York, and we're going to find meaning. You know, I'm like searching the city for meaning. And what I then developed panic disorder, and it was like a 18-month spiral. And I learned that meaning, instead I found surrender. I was chasing after meaning, and I found surrender. And today I can tell you that meaning follows surrender. Yeah. And so it activates, the surrender itself is what activates call in a way that we weren't even expecting, and it just kind of mobilizes something. And I do think that's God's spirit in us saying, you're going this way, but what you don't really know is I'm actually leading you this way.
Yeah. Pete, level with us. I mean, we've got 3 minutes, but part of what I wanted you to speak to, you've sat with hundreds of Christian leaders, a lot like the people sitting here, having probably some of the most private, intimate, confidential conversations they were ever willing to have with someone about their surrender that topic, but also how God uses suffering in their life to do things. And I know even in my own like life with a counselor who's been helping me work through stuff, he says, look, the Christian community is the one community where it's like perfectly suited for somebody who's super achievement oriented, really interested in success. It just kind of helps them like run down that path and lead things and be visible to people. And it fulfills like a lot of wounding. And so that's why you see a lot of things happen in the Christian community that maybe you don't see as much other places or you don't expect it as much. How would you speak to all of us today about taking seriously that caution and those wounds and how much this idea of pursuing calling can sometimes become an idol? Like, how would you just speak to our hearts? And we won't have time, obviously, to work through it, but at least help people start to go down a path when they leave here tomorrow to think about some things.
Yeah, Kelly said it really well yesterday when she said if your identity is in seeking the destination of an achievement, your identity is probably in the achievement. God wants our hearts. And I totally agree with that. So I think we have a messed up view of suffering. I think Viktor Frankl has it right. He has a beautiful theology of suffering. And even Paul wrote about we grow through embracing the sufferings of Jesus and how those play out in our lifetime. So there's a lot to learn in the dark seasons of life. They're not to be glossed over.
Yeah.
We call those sort of life gate moments in someone's storyline. And those can be radically transformational and beautiful in the outcome. Surrender is the portal to living the life God designed you to live. And if you don't fully go through it, you'll have a shortened, frustrated view of your sense of calling. Because full surrender realigns the motives. Proverbs 16:2 says, God is weighing the motives of the heart. And it really all comes down to motives. What's driving me to do what I'm doing? Why am I doing that? And when that's more this than this, it changes the game. And that's the life of joy where we find meaning on the other side of great loss and suffering.
Yeah. Well, any final thoughts just to encourage us as these guys go back and they're leading, you know, college students and people who are going to pursue these questions. The best thing they could do when that person comes and says, hey, I really want to pursue my passion. What's the next step in that conversation?
Engage them, engage their stories, walk with them through the process of discovery over time. It's not a book necessarily. It's not a short experience. It's a journey.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and insights with us. Let's thank them for being with us today.
Well, I hope you're encouraged by what you've just heard here at Q Ideas about how you can engage your calling, how you can live into the assignment that God's given you. It's a fun conversation to get to have with my wife, Rebecca, and these are the kind of conversations we're trying to create for Christians who are very serious about wanting to know what is the assignment God has in their life. You know, I grew up believing and thinking that the main thing we can do as Christians and the main way that we honor and serve God is just purely through evangelism, telling others about Jesus. And while that's completely true, and that's one of the greatest things we can do as evangelists, as those who are called to disciple others, we also have an assignment that God's given us to actually live out our calling. That part of how God has brought glory is through us renewing and redeeming things, restoring things that are broken in the world, and actually bringing tangible expressions of the kingdom to bear on life. And so as we do these things, we gain joy. We start to experience the life and the abundance that He's always meant for us to do. And so we continue these kinds of conversations every year at our Q conference. Q 2017 is taking place April 26th through 28th. I want to remind you that the ticket rate goes up January 31st. And if you've been on the fence or you're wondering, where can I find this kind of conversation? Where can I find these people? Where is this happening? It's happening in Nashville, April 26th to 28th. And I hope you'll join us. I mean, it's a place where you're going to hear from thought leaders, people like David Brooks, New York Times columnist, authors like Ann Voskamp, people that you've probably listened to on the radio, like Lisa Turkhurst, Propaganda, Trip Lee, people who understand how the gospel applies to all of life. And so while you're at Q, that we have thought leaders you're hearing from, these talks, but we also have industry talkbacks. So if you're a journalist or you're in education or you're wanting to engage also like a current issue, something that you're not familiar with how you should talk about it or discuss it with your teenager or with your family members, we're going to have current issue experts talking about everything from sexuality and the race conversation. You can learn about the incarceration problem in our country. And Get behind the statistics on suicide. Why are millennials and younger generation people finding that life's just not worth living? We delve into all of these kinds of topics, and it's so helpful for any Christian who really wants to seriously engage the conversations happening all around us. But in addition to that, you not only learn, but you have a lot of fun. I mean, we have an incredible amount of after parties that take place, concerts, private shows, the ability to screen films that nobody's seen yet that are really engaging some of these big themes. And so we just hope that you'll join us. You can learn more about that at qideas.org/2017. I also want to offer something free to you today, and that is a subscription to Q Weekly. Q Weekly is the way that we equip you every week to know what are the topics you need to be understanding so that you can lead conversations that inspire others and bring action to your community. And you can do that two ways. One, you can go to qideas.org/radio, or you can text us. Just write this number down and text us the letter Q to the number 503-394-8739. That's 503-394-8739. Well, I'm so thrilled that you found us. I'm so excited that I get to be in this conversation with you. I wish I could hear more from you and your feedback and what you've thought about the conversations that you're hearing. And probably the best way to do that is through social media. You can follow us at Q Ideas on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'd love to hear your comments. We'd love to hear what you believe the assignment is that God's called you to. And if you've been inspired by some of these talks, there's so many more of these. This is what we've done over the last decade, is commission talks that are meant to help you. You as a Christian want to live out your faith, but sometimes you just don't know how in some of these specific areas. And we think this website, qideas.org, is maybe one of the best kept secrets amongst the church. And we want you to explore it. We want you to discover for yourself and share it with your friends. But I'll look forward to being with you next week, where we'll continue these conversations. We'll continue to learn together as we engage God's good world. This show is made possible in partnership with Faith Radio and Northwestern Media.
Thank you for listening to the Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thank you for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.